Newt Gingrich has been a major political figure in American politics for decades. A Republican from Georgia, he served in the U.S. Congress from 1979 to 1999, and he rose to become Speaker of the House of Representatives. Gingrich is widely known for putting together the Contract with America, and that was a winning political formula that led the Republican Party to dominate the 1994 elections, winning a majority of seats in the House for the first time in 40 years. That revolution won him a Time magazine cover, Person of the Year in 1995. Since leaving Congress, Gingrich has remained engaged in political analysis through his think tank, American Solutions. Michelle Martin caught up with Gingrich during the Republican convention in St. Paul, Minnesota, and they spoke about the party's legacy and about the future.
Mr. Speaker, thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
One of the things I have heard you say that made a big impression on me is that the test of any program or policy should be that if you weren't already doing it, would you start?
Yes.
Now, I ask Howard Dean the same question. What's the point of these conventions? Do they still play a useful role?
Well, I think the biggest role they now have is sociological. They bring together from the whole country thousands of activists who get a chance to renew their relationships, to talk together, to build energy, and then for about 2 to 3 hours, they get the country's attention, usually the acceptance speech by the presidential nominee, maybe the vice presidential nominee, maybe one other moment. But I think it's part of, I do think it's all changing pretty dramatically, and I think that in the next few cycles, you'll see all sorts of things done on the internet that will reshape how these things occur.
When this party looks at itself, completing the Bush administration, looking forward, you know, hopefully in the minds of the delegates here, looking forward to a McCain-Palin administration, what will this party see?
Well, I think that there's a very deep understanding among most of the Republicans who are here that we have to focus on the future, we have to focus on real change, and that the last few years, both in the Congress and in the executive branch, have been disappointing. I think people understand that. And I think that part of the reason McCain ended up as the nominee is that he was the one Republican so deeply committed to real change and so deeply committed to reform that he clearly represents a fundamental break with the last 8 years. I think it's a, you know, and I think in his choice of Governor Palin, he doubled that bet. I mean, he took somebody who was clearly an outsider, clearly a genuine reformer and a party insurgent in Alaska, and he said, okay, you want a ticket that's committed to real change? Here we are.
Some people are calling it a cynical choice that just puts identity politics back into play on the Republican side. What do you say to that?
Well, it's a sign that I don't know anything about Sarah Palin. I mean, she defeated the incumbent mayor of her hometown, served 4 years as mayor. She then was appointed to chair the Energy Commission and forced the Republican state chairman both to resign and to pay a $12,000 fine by being a whistleblower. She then defeated the incumbent Republican governor. That's a pretty amazing track record at 44. And I think that it is an interesting comment on those who are complaining that they think somehow that if you appoint a woman vice presidential nominee, it must be a symbolic choice as opposed to looking at her as though she were a man and saying, gosh, if you were John McCain and you had a man who had the same exact record of insurgency, would that attract you?
We wanted to talk to you about President Bush's legacy. Normally, this would be sort of an occasion to think about his record and to think about the legacy he leaves behind. What do you think President Bush's legacy will be?
Well, I think historically he'll be seen for three very large achievements. First, he did take decisive action about terrorism in a way that was probably much more aggressive than you would have had from Al Gore or a liberal Democrat. Second, he clearly, through the scale of his tax cuts, launched the economy on a growth pattern which is continuing to survive. We had 3.3% real growth last quarter, despite all the problems in housing and finance. And third, he appointed several Supreme Court justices who have significantly helped reshape the court. So those are the positives. I think that they failed at Katrina, and part of the reason everyone's being so careful with Gustav is that it's clear that the city government, the state government, the federal government, all three failed at Katrina. Clearly, they mismanaged part of the Iraq campaign, and it took them several years to get back on track. And I think he should have used his veto pen more often to stop congressional spending. And I think the Republican Congress should have done oversight on the administration when things were failing.
And I wanted to ask you about that, because there are those who fear that one of Mr. Bush's greatest failings is that he has damaged the Republican brand, as it were, as the party of fiscal discipline, that he has
It's not fair to pick on Bush for that. I mean, the congressional Republicans were fully as willing to throw away three generations of fiscal conservatism as the president was. His greatest failing was he went along with them. The fact that your party controls the Congress and the executive branch doesn't mean you should give up your job.
Let's talk about this, President Bush's outreach to minorities. I mean, one of the things that he made a signature of his domestic policy was No Child Left Behind, which is intended to address the achievement gap between minority students and white students. He also had, at least at the outset, he has had a very diverse core of advisors. I mean, he appointed the first African-American Secretary of State, the first African-American female Secretary of State, the first Latino sort of Attorney General. Do you feel that Mr. Bush has made headway in increasing the Republican Party's appeal to people of color, to members of so-called minority groups?
Well, I think he clearly had an impact on reaching out to Asian Americans and to Latino Americans, and it showed up in all sorts of ways. I think that he had some direct impact with African Americans through the 2004 campaign, and in fact, his margin in Ohio was largely the increase of his vote among African Americans. And I think that Ken Mellman deserves a lot of credit for having really helped develop that campaign. I think since then, they frankly have failed to make further progress. And I think part of the reason was that he didn't do something that I was glad to see John McCain do, and that is go to the NAACP's annual meeting and give an address straight to the delegates and be direct with the delegates. I mean, there's a very large community of people who are now in news media, who are commentators, who are talk show hosts in the African-American community. And if the Republicans are not prepared to be in that arena, even if it's sometimes hostile or angry or questioning, if you're not prepared to have the conversation, you shouldn't expect to have the consideration.
I'm Deborah Amos, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Michelle Martin is in St. Paul, Minnesota, covering the Republican National Convention. A little later in the program, Republicans and the school reform. President Bush's signature education policy, No Child Left Behind, did it work? A panel of educators tell us what they think in a minute. But first, we'll return now to Michelle Martin's conversation with Newt Gingrich, who represented Georgia's 6th District in Congress from 1979 to 1999 and rose to Speaker of the House. He talked with Michelle Martin about the Republican Party's legacy and about the future.
Let's talk about you for a minute. And you considered a run for the White House this year. You decided not to do it. Is John McCain addressing the things that you think are most important?
Well, I think increasingly he is. I'd have to say, having launched at American Solutions a petition drive on drill here, drill now, pay less, that has certainly been picked up dramatically by the McCain campaign. I think the Republican platform is very reflective of the platform of the American people, which we developed at American Solutions, and which actually every item in the platform of the American people has a majority of Democrats, Republicans, and independents favoring it. So while I disagree with John about some things, he is a real reformer, and I think that together a McCain presidency would resemble Theodore Roosevelt in the intensity and scale of its commitment to real change.
But speaking of the intensity and commitment to change, I mean, you led the Republican Revolution in 1994. There was a lot of excitement and reformist spirit
Yes.
in the GOP at that time. And although I know Republicans have ridiculed this, the reality is, you know, 80,000 people went to see Barack Obama in Denver last week. How do you recapture the kind of excitement and intensity that you generated in 94 and that the Democrats seem to have generated in Denver last year?
Well, I think there are two differences, and let me be clear about this. First of all, what we did in 1994 was the largest one-party increase in off-year voting in American history. We got 9 million additional votes, which is a lot different than 80,000 people showing up for a rock concert.
Okay, well, the election hasn't happened yet, so we'll see.
Right.
But I take your point.
Yeah.
I mean, going back to what you guys accomplished.
So start with the reason I was for either Governor Jindal or Governor Palin for vice president is I think they represent that kind of excitement. So I'm not particularly worried about that part of it. I think Senator Obama has had a very good run, and I commend him for a remarkable achievement. I also think he has a very, very hard time detailing real change. And I think there's something pathetic about campaigning for 9 months as the candidate of change you can count on, and then picking a 35-year veteran of the Senate who has to represent as much of the old establishment insider as you possibly could. So I think that a McCain-Palin ticket is the real thing, and I think they're going to offer a very stark choice in terms of real change with what I think is increasingly just a Washington politics-as-usual ticket.
And as an historian, though, do you think that there's some importance to the possibility of having an African-American
sure.
as president.
Of course.
And what would it mean?
Well, it depends on how well he did. I mean, if he was as bad as Jimmy Carter, it would mean that you would shatter African-American hopes for the presidency for a generation. If he was as good as John F. Kennedy, it would mean a huge breakthrough. Look, I think there are a lot of things to be said for symbolic politics. I don't think, in fact, it's wrong to have symbolic politics. And I think the degree to which it would send an amazing signal to the world to have somebody who's an African-American president is important. Just as, to be fair to George Bush, having Colin Powell and Condi Rice has been a big deal. I mean, when I watch Condi Rice in an Arab country, I think it's about as good as it gets. You know, because you're getting both the impact of an African-American and the impact of a woman in a community which is not used to seeing either in a position of responsibility.
And finally, what do you think it means to have Sarah Palin on the ticket? I mean, the Republicans aren't the first to do this, but the fact is she's also within striking distance.
I think the biggest thing isn't that she's a woman. The biggest thing is that she is an extraordinary reform governor with enormous courage who took on her own party and beat it. And I think that's what McCain identified with. This was an issue of character, that he thinks this is a person who can stand the heat and who can be in the fight and who won't flinch.
Newt Gingrich is the former Speaker of the House. He's currently a commentator and an author. He was kind enough to join us here at the XL Center at the Republican National Convention. Mr. Speaker, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
That was Tell Me More host Michelle Martin speaking with Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, at the Republican National Convention. And Tell Me More is giving you a backstage pass to the Republican National Convention. Michelle Martin will blog each night from St. Paul, Minnesota. So later today, meet her back at the blog. Go to npr.org and click on Tell Me More. And NPR will be covering the Republican National Convention each evening on many public radio stations and at npr.org.